Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
Today's workforce, many leaving altogether, and millions now bracing for long-term unemployment. Meanwhile, union leaders on the presidential debate, three words, workers deserve better. And today on the show, the latest from the American Federation of Government Employees and the Ohio AFL-CIO. Good afternoon and welcome to the Tuesday, October 6th edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, as well as Spotify, also on Facebook, AWF Union Podcast, which is also our Twitter handle, at AWF Union Podcast. We have two guests on the show today, Willie Haywood Jr., on behalf of the American Federation of Government Employees, District Council 262, located in Cleveland, Ohio, will be our first guest, and he is retired from the Department of Veteran Affairs, still very much involved in the union. He's going to talk about some successful Day of Action demonstrations, which happened over the Labor Day weekend, how effective they actually were. Whole idea right now, energizing all union members to get out the vote. Can you believe Election Day is 4 weeks from today? 4 weeks from today. A number of states have already started voting. In Ohio, it starts today. We're going to talk about getting out the vote and the difference between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. Donald Trump, when he launched his campaign, this was about maybe 2.5-3 months ago, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, he came down on the Veterans Administration and the Veteran Affairs Department, bragging about signing the VA Choice Bill, a bill that was meant to help privatize the VA. And Trump said the following, and VA accountability, well, we had a lot of bad people in the VA, people that didn't love our vets, people that were sadistic, people that stole, a lot of bad people, and you couldn't get rid of them because they were, let's say, in a union. It could be civil service, right? Let's say that. He's trying to figure out what to say next. So you couldn't get it done. Well, that was one for the decades and decades. They wanted to get a change, and I got it done. Donald Trump speaking about the Veterans Administration. Well, I'm sure Willie's going to have a field day with that one. The other issue is safety. Did you know that nearly 8 in 10 federal employees who have been working remotely during the COVID-19 pandemic say they feel unsafe returning to work even now? While more than 70% of employees working on site say their agencies are not doing enough to keep them safe. This is according to a worker survey conducted by the American Federation of Government Employees. Here's a quote from the national president, Everett Kelly. Whether they are working remotely or on site, federal employees believe their workplaces are not safe and that their agencies are not doing enough to protect them. For months, our members have repeatedly called on the administration to include federal employees in decision-making around pandemic protocols to ensure agencies understand the needs of frontline workers, but our concerns have fallen on deaf ears. Perfect example of this. Complaints filed by an AFGE local in Indianapolis, Indiana, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, this happened last month, where three citations were issued against a Veteran Affairs hospital for its failure to protect employees against the coronavirus. Two things: conducting a hazard assessment, failing to do that in order to determine appropriate personal protective equipment, PPE, such as surgical masks and face shields, specific types of respirators designed to combat and protect the health and safety of employees. And secondly, giving PPE to employees who come in contact with individuals that may have the coronavirus, like screeners, not just direct patient care workers. Job is not getting done. So lots to talk about with our first guest, Willie Haywood Jr. This is our segment with the American Federation of Government Employees. Our second guest on the show is Tim Berg on behalf of the Ohio AFL-CIO. OhioAFLCIO.com is their website. And Tim is going to talk about, number one, getting out the vote and explaining to union brothers and sisters where the candidates stand. I mean, by now you should know where Donald Trump stands, and you probably want to know a little bit more about Joe Biden, where he stands. Well, the Ohio AFL-CIO and other state federations have pretty much gone around explaining, here's Biden, here's Trump, here's Biden on the NLRB, here's Trump, look at what he has done. Judicial rulings, the Supreme Court, that's a hot button issue right now. Another issue is OSHA and safety standards. And recently, the Ohio Labor Federation came out with a blistering report on how the Trump administration has relaxed injury and illness reporting standards while also cutting inspectors to the lowest level ever. I mean, OSHA's been around since, what, 1970? Delaying and weakening mine inspection rules, endangering workers and first responders at chemical facilities by weakening EPA regulations. There's a lot of information out there. And thankfully, labor federations, state federations like the Ohio AFL-CIO have been coming forward and explaining this to union members to try to find out, okay, where do you stand on the issues? What concerns me? What concerns my family? That's what it's all about, and that's what Tim is going to do as our second guest right here on America's Workforce. Well, in spite of falling overall unemployment rates, millions now stand on the precipice of long-term unemployment. This according to the New York Times. The Department of Labor announced Friday that 2.4 million people have been out of work for 27 weeks or longer, the threshold it uses to determine long-term unemployment, while an additional 5 million people are approaching that status over the next 2 months. On top of that, permanent job losses are rising sharply, even as temporary layoffs are decreasing. Many of these permanent job losses are driven by high interaction employers like restaurants, theaters, casinos, cruises. You heard about Disney. Disney announced last week they're laying off 28,000 workers. Airlines cutting tens of thousands of jobs following the expiration of the federal moratorium on layoffs. That was October 1. So a total of 3.8 million people lost their jobs permanently in September, which is nearly twice as many as in April. The situation has always already prompted comparisons to the jobless recovery of the decade following the Great Recession. That was brutal. A lot of folks still haven't recovered from that. And that was, what, 12 years ago? Now, many workers are also leaving the labor force, especially women, according to analysis by the National Women's Law Center. In September, 865,000 women compared to 216,000 men dropped out of the workforce, meaning they are no longer working or looking for work. Lack of affordable child care, one important explanation, both for the number of workers leaving the workforce and for the high proportion of those workers who are women. Another factor is that the sectors that have lost the most jobs are disproportionately comprised of women workers. For example, women are about 60% of public sector workers. Black and Latina women continue to face higher unemployment rates than white women or men. This according to the National Women's Law Center. Painters and Allied Trades General President Ken Rigmaiden has made a scathing statement in response to President Trump's pitiful conduct at the first presidential debate a week ago today. This is what Ken said. When it came to the issues that impact our members and the nation, most likely the economy and healthcare, Trump had insults to offer instead of solutions. Bullying and name-calling do nothing to offer the stability and assurance that working people of our country desperately need and deserve. Trump's racism and division became painfully evident when he couldn't even condemn white supremacy when asked, and then proceeded to put far-right groups on standby. While Trump consistently interrupted and changed topics, he didn't give the American people a chance to hear the solutions Vice President Biden has to the many crises currently facing our nation, from Protecting the Right to Organize Act to robust federal infrastructure funding. Biden has solutions, which is why our trade union and nearly every union has endorsed his campaign for president. We deserve much better, and we all know it. Again, that's the head of Painters and Allied Trades, Ken Rigmaiden. By the way, the debate was witnessed by many members who saw Trump constantly interrupting Joe Biden as he was speaking to the American people. We saw that. Well, the Commission on Presidential Debates, which hosts these forums every 4 years, has now changed the rules to allow sound technicians to cut the microphones of candidates who attempt to interrupt each other. In the meantime, here, a little salute to IATSE. This is the Theatrical Stage Employees Union. The Commission on Presidential Debates, which hosts the forums every 4 years, has now changed its rules, allowing sound technicians to cut the microphones of candidates who attempt to interrupt each other. Boy, we saw a lot of that last week. Members of IATSE stand ready to ensure that America's voters have a chance to hear both candidates without interruption, said the union. Union broadcast technicians are experts on the faders. If the debates need to make a format change and mute channels to prevent interruptions, behind the scenes, workers are ready and able to make it happen. This is all posted on Facebook. So hats off to the members of IATSE, the theatrical stage employees, taking a leading role in setting up the future debates. All right, we have to take a break. You're listening to America's Workforce, our segment with the American Federation of Government Employees, coming up next. Don't go away.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, is the most progressive, aggressive, and fastest growing union of construction workers, and one of the most diverse and effective unions representing public service employees. LIUNA members are on the forefront of the construction industry, a sector that is a powerhouse of 12 million workers producing 5% of our country's economic output, a 500,000 strong. We're united through collective bargaining agreements which help us earn family-supporting pay, good benefits, and the opportunity for advancement and better lives. With Mobile Action LIUNA, you can get updates on your cell phone, find out how to sign petitions, and download union ringtones. Be a part of your union's political and organizing efforts by sending a text message on your cell phone with the word LIUNA to the number 69866. Through the LIUNA Action Network, you can stay informed about your union with a one-minute update and action alerts.
The Food and Drug Administration has recently reported that the heartburn medication Zantac is linked to cancer. Zantac has been linked to a variety of cancers, which include bladder, colorectal, kidney, liver, pancreatic, and stomach. So if you or a loved one took Zantac and developed any of these types of cancer, you need to call Kelly and Ferraro. 216-575-0777. Let me repeat that number. 216-575-0777 for a free case review. You may be entitled to compensation from the drug manufacturer.
For our troops and their families, the military is more than a career. It's a journey. And every step along the way, the USO is there.
It's an experience that soldier will never forget. That's what the USO does.
Be a part of their journey. Learn more today at USO.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And we're back. It's America's Workforce, where we are available on various platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, as well as Spotify. And when you get a chance,
just sign up to receive our shows on a regular basis, and you'll probably get hooked on the show. And then when that happens, give us a rating. 5 stars would be greatly appreciated. All right, this next segment brought to you in part by the fine folks at the United Labor Agency, ulagency.org. is their website. In fact, we'll be checking in with them tomorrow. Right now, though, let's go to line number one. Welcome back to the show, Willie Haywood Jr. Will is here to talk about getting out the vote, and he represents the National Veterans Affairs Council, 262. Hey, Willie, welcome back to the show. How are we doing today?
I'm doing good. Good afternoon to you, Eric. Good to hear from you again.
All right. Hey, you know, we had one of your brothers, I believe he was down in Atlanta on the show a couple weeks back, and this was right before the Labor Day weekend. There was a day of action. I'd like to hear the results from that day of action. I'm told it was pretty good. I'd like to hear it coming from Willie Haywood. How did we do?
Well, I believe you spoke to Mr. Ben Spite.
Right.
One of the coordinators, and we had a good successful run, and we had quite a few VA medical centers participating from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Hampton, Virginia, Columbus, Ohio, Las Vegas, Tampa, Leavenworth, Texas, St. Louis, Augusta, Little Rock, Riverside, Philadelphia, and Minneapolis, and there were a few more out there that we didn't get a chance to name, but it was a good, successful run from the week of the 3rd all the way up to the 8th of last month.
Mm-hmm. So are more events being planned? I mean, Election Day is 4 weeks from today. What's the agenda look like here?
Okay, yes, we are planning more events leading up to Election Day. We still want to get the word out there about they're still lacking PPEs, and plus the fair contract which the department is stonewalling us on and getting it known out to the public, which we are getting pretty good news media pertaining to these issues.
Mm-hmm. Talk to me about the being protected on the job. I'm seeing a couple of lawsuits. I know you did a survey. A lot of employees do not feel safe, and they don't want to go back. I know they've been working remotely. Where do we stand? What's your point of view on this right now, Willie?
Well, from what I'm hearing from the district that I represent, the 6th District, nothing is consistent from the department as far as, let's say, protecting the employees and the veteran patients. When they are coming to the VA medical centers, they are still lacking proper PPEs as far as masks, gowns, things of nature like that, and it's sporadic. You know, some days they have them and some days they don't. And plus, we see here that the sanitation part of it is kind of lacking also as far as, you know, making sure the place is being sanitized, you know, according to OSHA standards.
All right. So at least some things are being done, but I'm hearing a lot more needs to be done. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, a lot more still need to be done. Like I stated earlier, there's no consistency among their program at all, among the medical centers, as far as protecting the employees and the veterans. I'm pretty sure you heard about the OSHA citation in the Indianapolis Medical Center.
Yeah, I was just reading about that at the top of the show. What do you know about that? Because I guess that's a local 609 out there. What are you hearing?
Correct. That's up in the 6th District. Well, what I'm hearing is that they did not supply the medical center adequately for them to protect their employees. And it's still an ongoing investigation to what I'm hearing, and I'm still getting different tidbits on that.
I'm reading that OSHA agrees it's just not enough what they've done there. So that's good to hear, considering what's happened to OSHA. Willie, I want to get back to the pandemic and its effect on workers. Now, a lot has changed since March. We had the shutdowns in Ohio and various states around the country. We have, 210,000 deaths
in this country, the president of the United States, the head of the free world, now has COVID-19. How is this affecting the minds of the employees and members of the American Federation of Government Employees? I know the union has endorsed Joe Biden. I'm just wondering how energized the workers are right now.
We're pretty much energized. And plus, we are energizing our members. Like you said, we got the endorsement of Vice President Biden as running for president. We endorsed him. And we're getting our members energized to let them know that the Biden-Harris ticket will, you know, kind of make us whole. We get him back, get him in office there. And so that's the effect it's having on our employees out in the field.
So, Willie, can you be specific? I mean, you talked about this day of action that we had a couple of weeks ago. Moving forward, how is the education campaign going? Are you going door to door? Can we get into details on that?
Well, as far as door to door, no, because of the pandemic, no, we're kind of, no, getting away from that. But we are holding our phone banks, and we are still holding informational picketing, which is still set up to go on down the road, and with educating our employees on a daily basis as far as Zoom conferences, and we having our conference calls, and we have put out there what the Biden-Harris tickets is offering us in for our support. For instance, on the Biden first day in office, he said he restored federal employees' rights to organize, bargain collectively, and will direct his agency to bargain with the federal employees' unions over non-mandatory subjects of bargaining. And which I don't know if you've seen lately, what the Federal Labor Relations ruling that came out just recently as far as banning federal employees from bargaining on any subject matter. No, they just came out with a ruling with that just a couple of days ago. So that's another, issue we have to deal with down the road as far as going through the legal chain.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know he, didn't he kick the unions out of the VA? And I think it was around the country they did that, right?
Right. Well, what he established, as far as Department of Veterans Affairs was one of the agencies, we either have to, if they stay within the facilities from the way the executive order was written by President Trump, that either they pay rent for the space or they had to leave and get their own union space somewhere else. And this has been going on, it has been done throughout the country.
And so the unions have taken a financial hit pretty much because they didn't have to pay that rent before, correct?
That's correct. You're correct on that. So it is a financial burden on the locals at this point in time. You're correct.
All right. Willie, I got to take a quick break. Can we talk more about this? What's going on?
Yes, we can.
All right. Willie Haywood. He's with the National Veterans Affairs Council. That's Council 262. We'll continue the conversation. And we're also going to talk about the federal agencies that are halting some race-related trainings. We kind of touched on this with one of the members of the union some months back. Also, Tim Berg, on behalf of the Ohio AFL-CIO, will be joining us talking about getting out the vote, Labor's 2020 agenda. It's all part of America's workforce. Back in a few minutes. Don't go away.
This is America's Workforce.
The United Auto Workers are one of the largest and most diverse unions in North America, with members in virtually every sector of the economy. Learn more about this proud sponsor of our program at UAW.org.
Chris LaGrange here, host of UCOM Live with Chris LaGrange, news, talk, sports, and workforce politics, the fastest growing podcast on, in, and around the internet. Join us live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter with archives on UCOMLive.com. Our loud and colorful panelists bring you current events like no other. So follow and subscribe today wherever great podcasts are found.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
Have you mixed your pain meds, your sleep meds, your allergy meds? Call the Poison Helpline. Has your child eaten a tube of toothpaste, a chip of paint, a wild mushroom? Call the Poison Helpline. Have you been bitten by a spider, a snake, an insect? Call the Poison Helpline. Poisonings can happen at the home, on the job, or in the great outdoors. Call the Poison Helpline first for fast, free advice from medical professionals. Call 1-800-222-1222 anytime, anywhere. 1-800-222-1222. Save the number, save a life. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And welcome back to America's Workforce, where we are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, also on Facebook, AWF Union Podcast, and that's our Twitter handle, AWF Union Podcast. Let's go back to our live line, rejoin Willie Haywood. This is a segment we do each and every month with the American Federation of Government Employees. He's with the National Veterans Affairs Council. That's Council 262. Before we go on, Willie, Council 262, what kind of territory are we talking about? Is it mainly the Midwest? How big? How many members right now?
Well, right now, the Council 262, part of the 6th District, and it consists of medical centers, from Louisville, Kentucky, Cincinnati, Ohio, Dayton, Ohio, Columbus, Ohio, Fort Marion, Indiana, Fort Wayne, Indiana, and Indianapolis, Indiana, and Chillicothe, Ohio. Those are the medical center that's affiliated with the 6th District, Council 262.
I gotcha. Well, you know, over the last, three and a half, almost 4 years, Trump has not been very, very friendly to the VA. Let's put it that way. I guess he said in a rally a couple of months ago in Tulsa, Oklahoma, when he relaunched his campaign, he said he talked about VA accountability. He said we had a lot of bad people in the VA, people that didn't love our vets, people who were sadistic. I couldn't believe he said that word. People that stole, bad people. You couldn't get rid of them because they were in the union. He also said it could be civil service. And because of his leadership, he's cleaned things up. And this is the VA Accountability Act, which he's referencing. when he said that about people like you, Willie, I would imagine you're not taking that very lightly, and talk about energizing the base of union members. This had to fire people up. What's your reaction to the president of the United States saying something like that?
Well, for one thing, he isn't aware of what the Accountability Act was about when they passed that law. In reality, he was supposed to get rid of bad managers. That's how that Accountability Act really generated out of Congress. But, of course, you know, after it became law, the federal agencies, along with Department of Veterans Affairs, used it to try to get rid of the so-called bad apples among the in the bunch and turned it around. So it's an unfair law because it even deprived due process and everything. And that's why it's a bad law, which we are trying to get it overturned and repealed.
Is Biden say anything about overturning that if he becomes president?
Biden has stated that on his very first day in office, he will restore federal employees, as I stated earlier, rights, and he would overturn, you know, the executive orders which President Trump has put in place, you know, that's hurting federal employees.
Well, Willie, that's certainly good news to hear. I would imagine you're tearing apart the Biden-Harris ticket right now. And I know a lot of unions are doing that, making sure that they're as pro-worker as possible. I know Biden has made no bones about it. He supports the PRO Act, the Protect the Right to Organize. I know a lot of conservatives don't want that to happen. I'm just wondering how far deep you've gone into the campaign. Maybe you could speak to some of the issues that are concerning workers and specifically to the American Federation of Government Employees. Go ahead.
Well, but he has committed to support consistent and regular pay increase for federal employees. And he will make sure that in the first, that they know part of the retirement system that costs federal employees money. And then he opposed the efforts to reduce benefits under the first and the FEHPB, that's the federal health for these federal employees' health benefit plan. And plus, he's going to make sure the staffing levels at the Department of Veteran Affairs and federal agencies will be efficient, you know, as far as for the employees performing their duties.
Anything else there?
That's about it at this point. But I just want to emphasize that we got to get out and vote the Harris-Biden ticket. I'm emphasizing this not only for the VA workers, but for all federal workers, in order for us to maintain and get our union back. This is the only way we can do it, and this is going to be the only chance we're going to have to do this, you know, when it comes November 3rd to vote.
Willie, are you afraid that the union may go away? I've been hearing this from a number of guests we've had on the show, that if Trump, perchance, does win re-election, that they're going to get rid of, well, number one, federal unions, and that obviously the biggest one is the American Federation of Government Employees. Do you think that members are getting that message? I mean, it's a threat. It's a threat. I'd like to get your reaction to that.
We're trying to get our members to realize that, Ed. You're right. And if we get in there another term, we're going to have a real uphill battle to climb, because right now he has the Federal Labor Relations Authority, got them stacked with non-union busting individuals on there, along with the impasse panel, you know, what some people out there are familiar with. They are kind of like anti-union. So if we get in there another four more years, you know, we're looking at some of the judges he done put appointed, and as far as being not friendly with the unions, so we got to get him out of there, y'all. If we don't, yes, our union is in trouble. I'm going to, that's my sentiment on that. You're correct.
Yeah. Talk to me about these race-related trainings. I picked up something on this in the national media. Apparently, the White House has directed various federal agencies to halt these race-related trainings. It sounds like they were diversity trainings. Maybe you could explain to our listeners what's going on here, Willie.
Well, as being, you know, being an employee for the Department of Veterans Affairs, I definitely can relate to that. Yes, they have various diversity training, race-related training throughout your federal career. You know, depend on what agency. Mainly all agencies have these diversity trainings and race-related training, and which is a good thing. And the union, we promoted these diversity training, you know, so everybody can, respect one each other as far as the workplace, and try to not to, show prejudice in the workplace and be a friendly place to work at. But me being a member of the Department of Veterans Affairs, I can assure you they are one of the biggest, the worst place as far as that has been, as far as race relations or racial culture change, because they have had various diverse initiatives to try to change the culture and try to make it a friendly place to work when it's pertaining to race relations issues. I can tell you that for years. And the Department of Veterans Affairs have been one of your top agencies that has filed numerous EEO complaints throughout the year. They have almost been one of the top agencies. So why they want to disband these diversity trainings, race-related training, is at odds with us.
Has this already started? Have they've started the process to end these trainings then, right now?
Well, from what we're getting, they have put out the memos and the recommendations to the different agency. As far as they in full gear, I don't think they're in full gear yet, because the word is just now getting out, per se.
Now, is this a White House thing? Can Congress say, wait a minute, they're doing some good work here. They need to continue this. Is there any pushback on this right now?
Well, to my knowledge, I'm pretty sure AFGE will take the lead to push this back. And we're going to make sure that our congressional leaders know about how this will be affecting the federal employees and the agency if they do try to discontinue these diversity trainings, new race-related training. So hopefully, if this is something that has to be looked into with Congress and legislated, then we will push for that. I'm pretty sure we will.
All right, Willie, with all the things that have happened here, I mean, you had a mouthful just in the last 10 minutes, and then you take a look back since January 20th of 2017. It's been a constant pounding by the Trump administration, just like trying to drive you into the ground here. I'm just wondering how morale is right now with your brothers and sisters. I know you're energized about getting out the vote. I know you're behind Biden and Harris and all that. But how's everybody, especially now in the middle of a pandemic, you're trying to be safe, you're trying to be positive. How's this affecting everybody, Willie?
Well, I can speak for the district throughout the country. We're pretty much well energized because of what's been going on. And with figuring out various ways to represent our Blue Roof Pay members, we got different initiatives out there that we're educating them on how to contact individuals. So the morale is good. It's good because now they have woken up now at this point in time. I would put it like that. A lot of our bargaining employees have woke up, and they're pretty well energized, and I'm pretty sure this will reflect when it comes November the 3rd on how energized we are.
Okay. Well, hopefully we'll find out on November 3rd. All right, Willie. We're going to leave it on that note. Willie Haywood Jr., who is the head of the National Veterans Affairs Council, that's Council 262, a big group there, and pushing the Biden-Harris ticket, afge.org for more information. Willie, we appreciate your sponsorship. You keep up the fight, and next time we talk, we hope to have some good news, okay, brother?
I'm pretty sure we will. You watch.
Okay, you take care. Keep up the fight, all right?
All right, thank you. Have a good one. Be safe.
All right. You got it. Willie Haywood. Love that guy. All right, we have to take a break. You're listening to America's Workforce. Our segment with Tim Berg on behalf of the Ohio AFL-CIO coming up next. Back in a few minutes. Don't go away.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, is the most progressive, aggressive, and fastest-growing union of construction workers, and one of the most diverse and effective unions representing public service employees. LIUNA members are on the forefront of the construction industry, a sector that is a powerhouse of 12 million workers producing 5% of our country's economic output. A half million strong. We're united through collective bargaining agreements which help us earn family-supporting pay, good benefits, and the opportunity for advancement and better lives. With Mobile Action LIUNA, you can get updates on your cell phone, find out how to sign petitions, and download union ringtones. Be a part of your union's political and organizing efforts by sending a text message on your cell phone with the word LIUNA to the number 69866. Through the LIUNA Action Network, you can stay informed about your union with a one-minute update and action alerts.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining,
atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And we're back. It's called America's Workforce, and we are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, as well as Spotify. On Facebook, AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the Ohio Federation of Teachers. You can find them online at oft-aft.org. Let's go to line number two. Welcome one of our regulars, Mr. Timothy Berga, who is president of the Ohio AFL-CIO. Talking about Labor 2020, 4 weeks. We have Election Day. Boy, this year is just flying by. And I know a lot of people with the pandemic are saying good riddance to 2020. My God, it can't end quick enough. Hey, Tim, welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Flash. And voting has started today in Ohio.
That's right. And it started in a number of states several weeks ago. So it's amazing. Well, how do you feel? How do you feel going forward here? I mean, everything but the kitchen sink has been thrown. I mean, Trump is saying there's voter fraud. There's fights going on, court cases. I've been following the Alliance for Retired Americans. They're doing a really good job trying to make sure that seniors at least don't have to go to the polls fearing for their life now with COVID-19. Let's start right there. What's your thoughts moving forward?
A lot at stake on the ballot this year, for sure. You know, we gave this president every chance to work with us. As you remember, you know, that first month in office, union leaders went in to meet with him. And there were areas where we thought there might be common ground, particularly in infrastructure and manufacturing. But the president has showed no common sense, certainly no common decency, and now he has a record to run on. So it's not surprising that near the entirety of the organized labor trade union movement is supporting Biden and Harris. When you look at the record, when you look at the trail of broken promises, whether it's manufacturing or infrastructure, and then politicizing this pandemic, it's become painfully clear that the only way to move this country forward is to remove this president from the office of the White House.
Tim, let me ask you, what do you think happened here? And I recall what you're talking about. In fact, we had Sean McGarvey on the show on Friday. Sean is the president of the North American Building Trades. And like on the second day in office, he reached out to the trades and said, hey, you know what? I'm a builder, you're a builder, and we want to work together. And then it seemed to have gone downhill from there. What do you think happened here?
Well, the president is not capable of being president. And he spent his entire time in office worried about just the power of the office. And as a result, you know, he doesn't understand how to move policy forward. He doesn't understand what it takes, to work with Congress and get things done. And when you go into places like Lordstown, Ohio, and Youngstown, and Toledo, and Dayton, and you tell people there, we're going to bring your jobs back, we're going to get our industrial economy moving again, and then you do nothing to make that a reality. We remember when he told those folks in Lordstown, Ohio, don't sell your houses. General Motors is going to come back and the jobs will be flooding back. And, of course, he didn't do anything to make that a reality, nothing. We remember what he told coal miners. We have less coal jobs. However you feel about fossil fuels and coal, he promised that he was going to be a resurgence in the coal industry jobs. And we have less coal industry jobs now than we've ever had. We have 236,000 less manufacturing jobs in this country now than we did when Trump took office. And this isn't just post-pandemic. This was starting prior to the pandemic. And now the pandemic has made it worse. And again, he's politicized the pandemic. And here we are. And we desperately need a change to get this country moving back on the right track.
Tim, you've done a pretty good job. You and the entire AFL-CIO and a lot of state federations have done this in America to show the difference between Biden and Trump. I mean, here's his record on the Supreme Court. Here's the record on National Labor Relations Board. Here's the record on OSHA, job safety, worker protections, and things like that. Talk to me about reaching out to union brothers and sisters, explaining the difference. Because as you know, Tim, there's still union members that are lining up with Trump. I don't know if it's the guns thing. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of other issues. There's social issues that they're concerned about. But I'm just wondering, with what you're doing, is it having an impact?
Well, I mean, that's our job and our responsibility. It's not to tell people how to vote, but to put the facts in front of them on the issues that matter most and let them make the decisions. We've just asked people to take a little time out of the day and break away from social media and take a look at the issues that affect your workplace. And, you know, our job is to say, after 4 years, this president has a record now. Are you safer at work? Are your jobs more secure? Is the future brighter in this country? And the answer is a resounding no. And so our job is to cite the facts, source the facts, present it to the membership, let them decide. Now, you're right. 4 years ago, too many union members, in my opinion, voted for Donald Trump. And some because maybe they didn't like Hillary Clinton. Maybe they thought, Donald Trump would shake things up. Maybe they thought he would actually deliver on some of the things he was promising. But you have a record to run on now, and our job is to make sure that the record's out there, the Trump record and the Biden record. And it's really interesting, isn't it, that the Trump has no platform going forward on any issues and jobs in particular, while the Biden-Harris plan has laid it all out there. They laid it out there at the Democratic Convention. It's a $1.3 trillion plan to create infrastructure jobs in this country. It's a job to get manufacturing going again. It's a job for the it's a plan for the new jobs of the economy. He takes this Build Back Better plan that he's calling it, and he does what we've always known in America, that if you give the American worker the tools they need, if you take American tax money and put it in making things in America, regardless of who you are or where you live, then that's a real plan. And he's put specifics in place. So what we've been doing, Flash, is just comparing and contrasting. Here's the Biden record. Here's the Biden plan. Here's the Trump record. Here's the Trump plan. And when you do that, it's pretty stark, and it's having an impact, and we're seeing that now.
Maybe you can give us some details on how you're reaching members right now. You're obviously in the middle of a pandemic. In fact, we talked about this with the American Federation of Government Employees earlier in the show. I mean, you can't go door to door today. And you can try. I don't think you're going to get very far with it. But how are you reaching out right now to communicate your message?
Well, first and foremost, it's been direct mail. The local unions have been sending their direct mail. The labor councils, the state federations have been sending the direct mail. Again, with the compare and contrast and, you know, the flyers talking about those records. We've been doing phones, a lot of phone calls into our members and talking to them again, seeing how they feel, get the temperature and the pulse of the electorate on that. Talk about those issues that affect their livelihoods. Digital peer-to-peer texting, digital ads on Facebook, and display pop-up ads. Not going door-to-door in terms of the knock and talks that we are known for, right? But we are having a lot of volunteers interested in literature drops. So for those that want to do it, we're making it as safe as possible with the sanitizers and the masks and everything. And it's contactless. You pick up the flyers at a drive-through and you go use your tablet or your phone to know which union doors to hit. And you simply drop off literature at the house without knocking on the door or talking to anybody. Those are some of the main program pillars that we're doing. And of course, you know, at the work site, we've got the flyers and the ability to have those one-on-one conversations there. So it's been, frankly, more robust than I thought it might be, considering it's a pandemic. But the information's getting out there, and what we're finding is that the workers and our members really want the information. And again, as voting has started today, lines are already forming, and voting has been heavy today. So we're encouraged that we're going to have high turnout this year and full participation.
Yeah, yeah. Absentee voting is going to be through the roof, no doubt about that. Talk to me about the post office. What are you hearing? You know, it seems the news in the general media has died down. Trump is saying, there's going to be voter fraud if you vote by mail. Of course, he votes by mail. But I'm just wondering, with all the controversy in the past couple of months, how do you feel going forward?
Well, the last three Ohio secretaries of state, two Republicans and one Democrat, have said that there's virtually no voter fraud in the state of Ohio, especially when it comes to early voting and vote by mail. It was terrible to see an institution, 140 years, the U.S. Post Office has been, getting it done and delivering the mail, to attack the United States Post Office is like attacking America itself. Shouldn't surprise us, because this president has been attacking American institutions, even like Goodyear's, wanting to boycott Goodyear because he got upset with the company policy not to wear political garb on the clock. So wasn't surprised. I was terribly offended by it. And the people that work postal and the people that deliver the mail, they're going to get the job done. And they're going to make sure that those sample ballots get to where they need to be. It's a secured and protected situation. So, again, we encourage Ohioans to vote however they think it's most safe to do so, whether it's voting by mail or in person early or in person on election day, to take all the proper precautions. And I'm confident that we're going to have safe and secure elections here.
Good, 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 good. Tim, I know you're concentrating on Ohio. I mean, you're the head of the Ohio AFL-CIO, and we have a national audience now with our podcasting capabilities. Just wondering, what are you hearing about other parts of the country? Are there any hot spots, any areas you're concerned about at this juncture?
Yeah, good question, because, as we've learned, this is not a national election. It's 50 state elections, right?
Right.
For the Electoral College, and each state has its own electorate laws. I do talk to my colleagues in Pennsylvania and Michigan and Wisconsin and Florida and Minnesota and so on. And, they're experiencing the same thing that we're experiencing here, is that enthusiasm is high, interest for information is high, a lot of skirmishes as it relates to voting laws, which it's unfortunate that, we have to, litigate to try to protect the vote, right? And there's a lot of concern about, voter suppression and intimidation tactics. But my state federation officer colleagues around the country are doing a great job making sure that, like we are here in Ohio, workers and union members are getting the information they need to make an informed decision. And, when you look at the record, it's pretty clear, and it's why the entire trade union movement is with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris on this. We have a long history with good history with working people, and Joe Biden in particular. And he knows us, we know him. And okay, let's understand what your priorities are, Vice President Biden, going forward. And now that we do, the choice is clear, and we're getting the message out there.
I like that. One more question here. Tim, you've been at this for a long time. What's the feeling in your gut? How do you feel right now, 4 weeks out?
Well, having been at this for a long time, I know better than to make predictions.
Okay.
But what I'll say is voting is going to be extremely, extremely high. We encourage people to go all the way down the ballot. You start at the presidency, and you go down all the way through to the judicial races, and make sure that, we can get rid of the era of rigged legislative map drawing, and doing that by electing Judge Donnelly and Judge Bruner to the Ohio Supreme Court. I think Ohioans are ready for change. I think, they gave this president every chance in the world, and he's blown it. And he's not been honest with the American people, and not been honest with the American people about something as important as a pandemic. So, again, we just encourage folks to get out there, exercise their right to vote. And we do that, I think a change is coming.
Good answer. All right, my brother, you take care. We'll find out a month from now. So keep up the fight, stay safe, and we'll stay in touch, all right?
Thank you, Flash.
All right, Tim Berger, president of the Ohio AFL-CIO. That's it for another edition of the show. Coming up tomorrow, latest from Greenpeace. Greenpeace is going to talk about forced child labor and the United Labor Agency. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.